So let's look at joy in a little more depth. Read John chapter 15, verses 1 to 11. Jesus tells us that if we stay close to him, if we allow ourselves to be shaped and guided by his word, then not only will we be stronger, we'll also develop Christ-like characteristics, such as the fruits of the Spirit. I've deliberately chosen the NRSV translation because of its use of the word abide, in Greek menon, whereas the NIV uses remain. The dictionary definition of abide is to dwell or reside, to last or endure or withstand, to wait for, await, to abide the coming of the Lord, to remain faithful to, keep, to abide by a promise. And then I looked up remain. To continue to be as specified, continue in the same state, to stay behind or in the same place, to be left after the removal, loss or destruction of all else, to be left to be done, told, shown, etc. They're very different. Abide gives a picture of closeness, of intimacy, of interdependence, of expectancy, while remain feels like the past tense of something left behind, almost of abandonment. I think Jesus was talking about the present, a state of being, of oneness with him, which is where our joy comes from. We still abide in him and he in us, even in our darkest times. The last verse of the passage we have just read states, I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. It's important to remember that just as faith in Christ brings us joy, we give joy to God as his faithful people. In many ways, perspective is key. When we look at what God has done for us, we naturally respond with thanksgiving and joy. When we look at difficult circumstances in our lives and in the world, we naturally respond with discontent or anxiety and frustration. But we can do so while still recognizing that God is in control and that he loves us. The Psalms display this truth beautifully. David, for example, poured out his complaints to God. He did not deny the hardships of life, his depression, his hurt, or his disappointment. Yet by the end of each psalm, he generally seemed encouraged. Psalm 13 is a good example. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death, and my enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. Verses 1 and 2 are lament. How long, Lord, are you going to leave me feeling like this? How long are you going to leave me in this situation? David is feeling separated from God. He seems to think that God is hiding from him, punishing him perhaps. I'm sure that all of us at some time in our lives have felt exactly like David. In times like that, it's easy to forget that God is the source of all joy. He is the source of all wisdom and strength, and he is the source of life itself. Because David feels separated from God, he is sorrowful. He feels the need of God's wisdom and counsel. He is weak before his enemy. and has a fear of death itself. Verses 3 and 4 show how David, in his distress, turns to God in prayer. We often speak about prayer as though it's our last resort. There's nothing more that we can do, so we might as well pray. David's first resource is prayer. Lamenting the situation he's in and how he feels about it, then asking for God's intervention. Verses 5 and 6 show David rejoicing in the Lord. His prayer has not yet been answered. His situation is still the same. He is still feeling anxious and stressed and far from God, but yet he rejoices. He is far from happy, but he is full of joy and praise for the Lord. David is a good example of how we can find joy in God amidst the trials of life. Next week, we'll look further at how we express our joy in the Lord, how we praise him, especially now when our usual method has been forbidden to us for a while. We'll also look some more at what the Bible tells us about joy. I'm going to leave you with a clip from Sister Act 2, where a group of disadvantaged and troubled teenagers are formed into a choir and sing Joyful, Joyful to win a state choir competition. I challenge you not to smile. I've set out some of the words below. Until next week, I pray that the Lord will fill you with his joy.